can go to Daniel chapter 7. What we're going to do is today we're going to go back over to what we've been talking about the last 2 weeks. So we do have the last 2 weeks on a podcast if you want to go there. What I wanted to do was is we do call this, and it's been called for ages, the Feast of Dedication. And the word dedication in Hebrew is Hanukkah or Hanuk. And so we've been going over, like last week in Daniel 8, and we went through and we showed you there in the scripture during a period of time during the Medo-Persian Empire and during the Grecian Empire what happened after Alexander died in Babylon of a mysterious death. And also we talked about the little horn during that day. But in chapter 7, you're going to see this little horn pop back up again. And this little horn here is in the end times. And the reason why this is important, and is we're going to look in the scriptures, we talked about before, assimilation leads to annihilation. Assimilation leads to annihilation. We've gone over that. You've heard that till you're probably sick of it. But the thing about it is this is why Yeshua said that you're in the world, but don't be of the world. If you're of the world, you will start assimilating and doing the things that they do. And the next thing you're going to know, because we covered the scriptures in Deuteronomy, where he said, do not worship me as they worship their God. And that's what seems to be what has happened, even in this church age that we're in. We see a lot of assimilation. But we're going to read some scriptures where the Father is even, he's saying, and it's a commandment, even in Revelation, he says, come out of her, my people. Come. He wouldn't say, come out of her, my people, if we're not in something. And he's talking about Mystery Babylon. He's talking about that system. We know here that we understand that the Antimessiah system is comprised of an economic system, a political system, and a religious system. All three of them work in concert with one another, and it's important that they try to stay together. You'll see where religion works hard to keep it. Economics, they manipulate everything there, and next thing you know, the political are always through the UN or through United this or United that. Doesn't matter what it is, it's a united thing. In other words, they don't want their Babylonian system to crumble, and so they're in a full court press to try to keep it all together. But the Father's got the Middle East on fire. And so we can see that there is a lot of things happening. And next week I will probably put up, I didn't put up a map, but Tammy showed me a little map. I thought it was really awesome. They showed on Israel, they showed all the Muslim nations. And if you can think, it goes from way on the other side of Libya, all the way through the northern horn of Africa, all the way up to almost China, because you're going all the way over the other side of Iran. You got Yemen, Saudi Arabia, all the way over to Turkey. And all of a sudden, in all of this green, you got this one little blue dot in Israel, surrounded by one of all of these nations. And you know what? And I told her, I said, you know what's really amazing? I said, you know, Ishmael, whenever he left, he was blessed, but it said that you would be against your brothers and you would be against them, and they'd be against you. But you can see all of this going on around Israel, and they just can't get their act together. But could you understand that if that whole group got their act together, how powerful of a situation that it could be? But evidently the prophecy that was given to Ishmael is true. They're always against one another. So they can't come in. They're always divided. So even though it's a mass, there's a lot of division amongst that. And then what do? We try to stick our nose where it doesn't belong. And we're still trying to divide the land. And we're trying to say that, you know, Israel, you get this piece and everybody else. You know, Yahweh sort of like created everything. You know, he created and he put this and he gave this to Abraham and he gave it to his descendants. And I don't care what government is formed, has no business trying to tell people what they can do and what they can't do with their land. Amen? Because I'm telling you, I don't know when it's going to happen, but something ugly is going to happen. Because every time somebody sticks their nose in their business, something, a terrorist attack or Katrina or something happens to the people that do that. So just be watching and looking and see what happens. Okay, with that said, let's go to Daniel, and you're in 7 and 8. I want to read this. Daniel said this. After this, that I saw a night vision, in the night visions, behold, a fourth beast, terrifying and dreadful and exceedingly strong. It had great iron teeth, and it devoured and broke into pieces and stamped what was left with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Then he says this in verse 8, I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another horn. What did it say? A little one. Now, we read this in Daniel 8, which was the next chapter, but it was talking about Antiochus Epiphanes. Antiochus Epiphanes was that little horn that came up out of the four generals from Alexander the Great. We showed you that in the scripture last week. But now chapter 7 is about end time. There's going to be another little horn that's going to show up. So what is he? Why is Hanukkah? This is why Hanukkah is so important to us. Because it gives us history of what he's going to do in the future. We get to look and see exactly what's going on. Assimilation leads to annihilation. Assimilation, whenever Alexander the Great came in and he assimilated the people to a Greek nation, he Hellenized them. That's what Grecian is. He Hellenized them. It is a mixture. It's a mixture of all kind of worship. You can worship Yahweh? Yeah. You got to worship Zeus? Yeah. You can worship Ashtaroth? Yeah. Yahweh said, do not do that. He said, I am a jealous Elohim, and I will not have any other gods around me. And we know that whenever they tried to take the Ark of the Covenant, when they took it from Israel and the Philistines did, every time they set that Ark down, what happened to their gods? They fell over. They fell over. You know, so the thing about it is the Father gives us hints all the way through the Scripture. I'm not sharing my glory with another. It ain't going to happen. It never happened back then, and it's not going to happen in the future. So he's telling us, though, that Satan is always about assimilation. Hasatan is always about trying to get us to assimilate. That's what happened with Balaam. What did he do? He said, I cannot curse Israel, but I know a way that we can make this happen. What did it do? You need to marry their daughters. Assimilate. Because you're going to entice them. Mixture. What do? You marry their daughters, then they will entice you to serve their Elohims, and that will make him mad. I can't do it, but he'll get on them himself. So we see over and over and over, and guess what, guys? Today, we have the same set of problems. And we're going to see that in Scripture as we continue on. But we see that there is a little horn here in verse 8. It says, before which three of the first horns were plucked up by the roots, and behold, in this horn were eyes like a man and mouth speaking great things. Now let's go down to verse 23. So you see that this little horn has eyes like a man and he speaks great things. Verse 23 says, thus he said, as for the fourth beast, there shall be the fourth kingdom on the earth, which shall be different from all the other kingdoms. And it shall devour the whole earth and trample it down and break it to pieces. As for the 10 horns, out of this kingdom are 10 kings shall arise, and another one shall arise after him. He shall be different from the former ones. He shall put down 3 kings. He shall speak words against the Most High. He shall wear out the saints of the Most High and shall think to change what? Times in law. Times in law. In other words, the very feast and festivals, the Shabbat, the Sabbath, if Yahweh put them in order, 6 days you work, on the seventh day you rest. In other words, it's a holy convocation. It's a time that he set aside. We are made in the image of our Heavenly Father. If our Heavenly Father would not have ceased and rested on the seventh day, he would continue to be creating. But what he did was, is he created 6 days and he rested on the seventh. What is he trying to tell us? He's trying to tell us that we can create 6 days, but on the seventh day, shut it down. We are not to be creating on the seventh day. We're not to be working. You see what he's saying? So this is the pattern of what he's trying to tell us. What has happened in our society today? We are a society today is 24/7. There's nothing closed except maybe, well, Waffle House is never closed. I was going to say except on Christmas, everything was shut down, but Waffle House is never closed. But what we're in an environment now to where nothing's closed. It's 24/7. And this is what this man here is going to speak. And what is he speaking? Has Yahweh really said? Just like he did in the garden to Eve. Has Yahweh really said that you would surely die in the day that you eat? You know what I'm saying? You always have the enemy always saying, I don't really think he really meant what he was saying here. I think, you know, if we really look at it, it's about coexistence. I think that's really what he was trying to say. And on and on and on. But here is what you see is, and this is the little horn that's doing this here. Because he said, he shall speak words against the Most High, shall wear out the saints of the Most High. This is why I'm saying that, I mean, look what happened just this year. When you're talking about there's a Christian killed every 6 minutes, that's sort of like wearing things out. And shall think to change times and law, and they shall be given into his hand time, times, and half time. But the court shall sit in judgment, and his dominion shall be taken away and be consumed and destroyed to the end. And the kingdom and the dominion of the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. This is awesome because he's telling us the end of the story. What's going to happen? Even though the little horn is going to do this, we get the upper hand in the end. And their kingdom shall be an everlasting kingdom, and dominions shall serve and obey him. Let's go to Matthew 24. Do we have that, the little slide? Okay. If y'all would, especially the visitors, you've probably not seen this. You may have, I don't know. During the time of Antiochus, he made a decree in 168 BCE, and it said this, you shall profane the Sabbath. He says, you shall profane the festival and the holy days. You shall set up idols. You shall eat unclean animals. You shall not circumcise your son, and you shall forget the Torah. You shall forget his word. This is what was set up, and this was the little horn of Daniel 8. This happened. And because this was set up, now you got to remember, it all started, he moved in there in 171 BCE. So it took him a little while to try to win over the people. But then all of a sudden, through a battle that he got defeated in, he came back mad and he set this up. And this is where the Maccabees, they got mad and they said, we will not. He says, we will not profane the Sabbath. We will not profane our feast and holy days. We will not eat unclean. And what happened is they were expelled or they left for a period of time until they were able to come back, win the battles, and rededicate and retake the temple. Now today, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. But what happens today, the enemy is still trying to desecrate the temple of the Most High. And we are that temple, and he desecrates it by assimilation. He desecrates it by this here because in 325, 26, or during the time of Constantine, Constantine laid out the same thing. He says, we're not going to do anything Jewish. And guys, it's never been about anything Jewish. It's about obeying the Father and his commandments. It is not about, per se, a group of people or a race of people. And I'm not coming against any race or group of people. But what I'm saying is this, commandments come from his lips to our ears, regardless of who you are. He chose Abraham, and through Abraham, Israel was born. Israel was born to do what? To bring the gospel to the nations, to bring the Torah to the nations, to be a light to the nation. Now, they failed in a lot of areas, but so do we. But the whole idea is this is not, when we're looking at this, and Constantine, he did this, because he was trying to separate. Really, really what he was doing is he was trying to set himself up as a little horn. But he's not the little horn. But there is going to be a little horn. And in a day, because guess what? Christianity for almost 2,000 years now has been living under this right here. We've been living because when I was raised Baptist. I went to church on Sunday, ate whatever I wanted, ate, you know, ham on Easter. And, you know, I wasn't circumcised. Got that later. I didn't understand the Torah. It says, you shall set up idols. So what happens is we celebrated every Catholic holiday that was laid down to man. And we called ourselves Protestants. I don't know what we were protesting because we did everything the Catholic Church laid out. We followed all their holy days. I'm just saying, we did. So, for all of these years, we have been assimilated. But the Father, in this time of restoration, what He is doing is He is calling His people out of assimilation before annihilation shows up. Amen? That's what He's doing. If Yahweh is a blacksmith, the hammer is the Holy Spirit. His word is the anvil. We're the one laying on the anvil. He's going to take His hammer and beat the Hellenism out of us. And that's all legal. That's all legal. He's going to beat the assimilation out of us. That's what He's doing every cycle in the Torah. We've been assimilated. And it takes the Father, it takes the Holy Spirit. Do we worship Him in spirit and in truth? Absolutely we do. But do you know what? Before we can get to that worship, He might have to beat something out of us. He has to beat that assimilation. He has to beat the Hellenism out of us. Amen? And that's just the way life is, because we're unlearning things that we've learned. And that's what the Father is doing today. He's doing this before He brings the Messiah back in. Because, guys, He deserves a spotless bride. He deserves a bride. He did not die for some old wretched person. He did not die on that cross to end up with just any old bride. And you know what? There is a working that's taking. There's a transformation that's going on in the lives of His people. And in that transformation, but guess what? He is telling us, He has given us this book. He said, I have given you an instruction manual. Do it. Read it. Pray over it. Learn it. This is not an IRS manual. This is not full of loopholes. But this is what we do as the church. A lot of times He says, you need to do this. Man, I need to find another scripture. You know, to see, I didn't know I signed up for this. Look, when you said that we would accept Him, and I will do, this is what Shema is all about. Shema is before you even hear the command, I will hear with the intent to obey. And when you accept Yeshua as your Lord and Savior, that's what we're doing. That's what Shema means. That I am going to, before, and you got to make up your mind. But you know what? We have had way too long shepherds that would sit here and say, well, let's talk about it. No. The talking has got us in trouble. Assimilation gets us in trouble. Assimilation will lead to annihilation. Matthew 24:15 says this. So when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by the prophet Daniel standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. Now, this is Matthew. I don't know what year this is, but Matthew is pinning this down, but this is Yeshua speaking. Now, we already know when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by the prophet Daniel, well, we covered that last week. He's speaking about history, but no, he's speaking about the future. The thing about it is it's already happened, but the reason why he's laying this out here is to give us a word picture and give us history of what's going to happen in the future. The very thing that happened only 170 years ago or 70-something years ago is going to happen again in the end time. So this is what he's saying, because guess what? Antiochus Epiphanes, he brought in Zeus. He set that up in the temple. He defiled the temple. But they came back and they retook the temple. What he's saying here today is that we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. We're that temple. Don't let abomination of desolation be set up in my body. There's a scripture that says this when they asked Yeshua, they said, where are you staying? And he says, the birds of the air have nests, foxes have holes, the Son of Man has no place to lay his what? His head, because he hadn't had the body yet. He is developing the body of Messiah so he can place his head on the body of Messiah. That's what he was telling them. It's not time yet. This has to be prepared. I don't have a place to lay my head yet. But the Father is preparing this for me. He's preparing a bride for me. And this is what this is about. But if we have the when we profane the Sabbath, when we profane them, guess what we're operating in? The abomination of desolation. That's what we do when this happens. It's not going to look a form of religion or a denomination. The body of Messiah is not going to have that look. Now, what happened in the Maccabee story? The moment Maccabees killed that one who was going to offer up that pig on the altar, and they ended up fighting. What happened to them? Where did they flee? They flee to the mountains. Look what happens next verse. Let those who are in Judea flee to the what? Mountains. He's telling you what happened in the past is going to happen again. He's bringing a parallel because who do you think Yeshua's talking to here in Matthew? He's talking to the Jews. He's talking to believers. He's talking to Israel. So they understand. I mean, they got the language. Whenever he's telling them this story, he's telling it in a way. Why? Because they can understand and they can relate. So that they could relate. That's what you would do. It's simple. It's just because we wasn't ever taught this. It's foreign to us sometimes. It says, let one who is on the housetop not go down and take what's in his house. Let the one who is in the field not turn back to take his cloak. Alas for women who are pregnant and those who are nursing infants in those days. Pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation, such as not been from the beginning of the world until now, no, and will never will be. So he's telling you, guys, this is not during the time of the Maccabees, but it's like that time. But not only, it's going to be worse. So he's giving them a warning that it's going to be worse. Revelation 14:12 says this. Here is the perseverance of the saints who do what? Keep the commandments of Elohim and have their faith in Yeshua. It's both. What has happened over the last few centuries, many centuries, our Jewish brothers had the commandments of the Torah. Our church brothers, our Christian brothers, had the testimony and faith of Yeshua. But it's not one or the other, it's both. It's both working together because also in Revelation 17, it says the same thing. But here's the perseverance of the saints who keep the commandments of Elohim and have their faith in Yeshua. It's both. It's both of the commandments and faith working together. It's not one or the other. And this is what he's doing in these end times. He's bringing all of that together. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2. Tammy, if you would, if you have a mic. I want you to read verse 7 through 12.
For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. Then that lawless one will be revealed, whom Yahweh will slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to an end by the appearance of his coming.
Okay, stop right there just a minute. Look at verse 8. And then the lawless one will be revealed. What does it mean the lawless one is going to be revealed? Whoever is doing up there what we said before. It said, you shall not do the Sabbath. You shall not do the feast and festivals. You shall not do the Torah. You shall eat whatever you want. The very thing that Antiochus laid out, the very thing that Constantine laid out, is what he's talking about. Because that leads to abomination of desolation. So he's telling us that there is a lawless one coming. What does lawless one mean? It means you're not following the laws and commandments. That's exactly what he's saying. Go ahead.
That is, the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders, and with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. You want me to keep going?
Yeah, through 12.
12. For this reason, Elohim will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false, in order that all may be judged who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness.
I'm going to go back up in 10. And with all wicked deception from those who are perishing because they refuse to love the truth and so to be saved. Guys, we can't pick and choose what we're going to receive from the truth. The truth is the truth. The truth stands alone. We may not understand the truth, but he didn't ask us that. First of all, it takes faith. It takes faith enough to know that I'm going to obey the truth whether I understand it or not. Usually when you start walking in truth, understanding comes. Amen. That's the way it's been with me. There's a lot of times it'll say it, and I'll tell Tammy, and she'll say, what do you think? I said, I don't know. But I said, but if it says it, we're going to do it. And when we started walking in it, then that moment, understanding started coming. I always go back to the lepers. There were 10 lepers. They're in a colony over there. Yeshua can't be over there. He'll be unclean. He's over here. And they're hollering at him. He didn't go over there. He said, hey, what y'all want? He said, we want to be made clean. He said, go show yourself to the priest. Why did he say go show? He didn't say be healed in Jesus' name. He didn't say that. He said, go show yourself to the priest. Why did he say that? Because he obeyed the Torah. Because the commandment was this, that if a leper was to be clean, he had to go to the priest and they had to examine him to make sure it was all gone, and then he would bring a sacrifice. And what happened? It says, as they were on their way, one recognized that he was made whole. Faith is when the word says it, you know, and I say this, you know, and I I'm believing for healing in my body too. Wednesday, I put a sock on and my L5 punched my little nerve again. But you know what? I'm believing. And the thing is, Father, help my unbelief. You know what I'm saying? But the thing about it is there's a time when faith and belief and all that connects. And when that connects, you know, miracles and things happen in our lives. You know, it's not formulas. We in America, we have created formulas out of everything. You know, if it don't happen just like this or like, faith is not formulas. Faith is an action word. Faith is an action word. And the thing is that's some of the things that what we've done in Christianity as a whole, we've created a way of doing things. You know, if somebody's blind, you got to spit on the ground and mud him in eyes. You know, then you might get black-eyed. I don't know, but the thing about it is it's not a formula. If the Father tells you to do it, you're going to do it. I understand being obedient to the Holy Spirit. That's what we have to do. Everything we've learned in the past is not wrong. We got to make sure we don't throw out the good things that we learned, but all the other stuff that's not true of him, you got to let that go, because all that's going to do is hold you back. Assimilation leads to annihilation. It will hinder your faith. It will hinder my faith. And that's the thing that I see in these scriptures, because I'm going to tell you something. They refuse the love of the truth. It says what? He says, if they would not retain me in their knowledge, what did he say? I will what? Turn them over to a reprobate mind. He didn't say Satan was going to do anything. And he says, I will cause this homosexual society to develop because of that. That's what he said. He said, I will cause men to have unnatural relations, men, women, women, and all. Y'all know the scripture. But here's the deal. He says, when you refuse the love of the truth, he can turn you over. That's why I'm saying, you know, I may not understand something from this scripture, but I don't dare speak against it and say that it's not for us today. Everything from Genesis to Revelation is for me and you today. Now, I do know this, that he is our sacrifice. We don't sacrifice animals today, but the thing about it is, Yeshua, he said that we're to bring our bodies as living sacrifices today. So there is a sacrifice that we are to bring to him. Every time, that's why we got the revelation about tithing. Look, Eve took something in the garden. Adam and Eve both took something in the garden that didn't belong to them. And when they took that in the garden, which was the tree of knowledge of good and evil, what did they do? They robbed Elohim. That's robbing. If you take something that don't belong to you, you're a robber. You don't have to have a mask on. You know what I mean? That's what it means. If you take something that don't belong to you, no matter how sweet it looks, it's not right. So the thing is I believe, is that what did he do? What does he do to us today with the area of tithing? And we don't teach on that a lot, but I guess it's the time to throw it out there. But the deal is what he does is he trusts the whole 100% to us, believing that we return the 10 back to him. That's what he's saying. He said, I'm trusting you with that tree. All the trees in the midst of the garden you can eat, but of that 10% you can't. It's no different. Do you think that we're not going to get an opportunity to not eat of that tree? We're going to get that opportunity not to eat of that tree. Because that's why he said in Malachi, he said, you robbed me. He said, well, how are we robbing you? He said, through tithes and offerings. Because you know what? You're keeping something that don't belong to you. That's the way you have to look at it. That he trusts us with everything that we would bring back what belongs to him. Regardless if you get a tax deduction or not. That's just the way it is. And so the beautiful thing about this is that there is a trust. But guys, everything that Adam went through, Yeshua went through it. And everything that Yeshua goes through, we're going to go through it. We're going to be tested by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And HaSatan is going to make sure he gives you every opportunity to fail. And when you don't, he's going to talk you to death if you listen to him. So don't listen to him. Do what Yeshua says, get behind me, Satan, and get out of the way, for it is written. And that's our answer to anything that he has to say, it is written. All he wants to do is get us in a dialogue. If Satan can get you in a dialogue to where you'll start conversing with him, he will tie you in knots and you'll find yourself in a dark place. You have to say it is written because only this can defeat him. Only it is written can defeat him. And it has to be in our vocabulary and everything that we do. Because if not, deception comes a long way. Because now this is so tragic here, guys. Because people refuse to love the truth. He says, therefore, Yahweh himself will send them a strong delusion. Guys, if Yahweh sends you a delusion, or if he sends me a delusion, we're toast. We're done. You can't think your way out of that one. And the thing is a strong delusion, you know what it means? You don't even think you're being deluded or you're being messed up or tricked or whatever. You know what I'm saying? You think life is good. You think everything, and you know what? Blessings rolling your way. And you're just a strong delusion because you don't know. If you knew, you'd get out of it. If you were deceived, you'd get out of it. Yeah, bless God. You know, what do we say here? The easiest person to deceive is who? Yourself. Boy, we can see the faults in others, but it's hard to see the faults in ourselves. But you know what? Others see the faults in us. Like I've always said, you don't want to be the person when the person comes in that door and you say, oh, man, I can't believe he's showing up. But you know what? That might be us. You know, so the thing about it is that's what a strong delusion will do. But yet here, Satan is not involved in that. Yahweh said, I will send them a strong delusion so that they may believe what is false. They might as well. They don't love the truth anyway. They're already believing what's false. So he's just going to let them love themselves in it. In order that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. That's the saying is lawlessness. Let's go to Revelation. I'm going to end with this. Revelation 18:4. Before we get to that verse, I just want to say this. The story of Hanukkah for us is about light growing in darkness. Hanukkah to us is about two groups of ideology, and that is Hellenism and the Torah. That's all what's going on today. The thing about a form of religion, he says, you have a form of religion, but you deny what? The power thereof. Because the form of religion doesn't do anything for us. It can't. It may make you feel good. You can. You know, there was a coach that I had a long time ago. He said there was two times, Coach Gill, some of y'all probably remember him. He said, there's two times I don't go to church, Christmas and Easter, because I can't find a seat. And why did he say that? Because that's when everybody goes. All the people that don't go to church, that's when they go, is Christmas and Easter. And that's what he was trying to say was this. He says, if we're going to be a people that's like that, you know, we have a form of religion, but there's no power in that. The power has to be, starting with Shabbat, we come in here and we get charged. We come in here not because you're hearing some dynamic message from up here. But the thing about it is we come in here and we get charged because this is his day. This is his time. This is a time that he sets the table. There's times that I can sit in here and preach and say things, and you can go over there and a little five-year-old kid tell you something and you're profound, fell out, and everything else. Because, man, I didn't know that. I've been saying it for 10 years. But the thing about it is, it's not about a one-person show up here. It's not a one-man band that's blowing trumpets and beating drums and doing all the thing at the same time. It's about a body ministry ministering to one another and knowing and being led by the Holy Spirit at the right time to be able to say the right thing that unlocks something in our lives that's going to bring healing, spirit, soul, and body, however that works. Amen? The thing about it is you know what? We may be a deceived people on areas. There's areas in my life I'm deceived. And like I said, if I'd have known it, I'd fix it. But you don't know if you don't know. There's been times that I've been blinded, the body of Messiah. But he removes those blinders. I say like a lot of times we're like onions. He just peels us one thing at a time. He just peels off one layer at a time until he can get inside. However all of these analogies work, this is the way it is for us. I wish that whenever I accepted Yeshua as my Lord and Savior, when I cried out to him, he just made me whole, perfect, and gave me a nice halo. But it didn't work that way. Because after that period of time that I walked with him in my Huggies, there was a time I had to be potty trained. I'm just saying. And the thing is I had to learn how to do the things my parents did for me. I had to learn to take, when they would always say, open up, meow, you know, and try to stick it in your mouth, and you're like, when you're a baby, doing all that stuff. But then you had to learn how to do it. And what do? You pick it up, and then you go, ah, and they're saying, what's he doing? I don't know. He learned it from you. You're the parent. And he's got food all over his mouth. But eventually one day, we get to the place where the food goes in here, and it's not all over our face. You know, usually that's when we're 16. But whatever, but I'm just saying, he is trying to teach us that we don't need to be believers. Do you know a lot of believers, they have a man head and they still wearing diapers? It's because we're not growing up. He's telling us it's time to grow up. It's time to be children, not babes. And guess what? There goes through a child stage, it's time to be men and women of the Torah. It's time to be men and women of the commandments. And that's what this story is really teaching us and telling us. And the thing is a lot of times we just didn't know that we were in a fight. You know, we didn't know we were in a fight of assimilation because why? You're assimilated. You don't know when you're walking through all of this stuff. But he is revealing areas in our life that you got to cut loose. You got to cut loose these things. If you'll cut loose, and you know what? Next cycle, he'll give you something else to cut loose. Because if he cuts everything loose, you'll look anorexic. You know what I'm saying? If he just comes hard and just starts whacking on us. But the thing is, but he's a gracious Elohim. Because it's not that he just cuts something away in our life. When it's cut away in our life, it has to be in a way that you don't go back and pick it up. It has to be cut away and removed. You got to get that that's cut away. You need to move from that. You got to create a gap. We need to be people of a gap. We need to create a gap because I promise you, if you walk close to that you've been delivered of, you'll pick it back up again. If you can touch it or reach it, you will. You need to create a gap, and that's what the Father is telling us about this season. That's what light is about. Light is about exposing dark areas in our life. That's why a lot of times we don't like the light because it shows us who we really are. 30-year-old believer. it's sort of a shame to tell you you still got struggles. I'm just saying. But the thing about it is we can't let that hinder us. I don't care how old you are in Yeshua. The thing about it is most of us in here, and this is the way I am, I only know what I've been taught. If I've been taught wrong, I know wrong. But the Father is teaching us right things. He is restoring. He's bringing forth. People during the Reformation, during the 1500s, they did an awesome thing. The thing was, he said, don't stay there. Don't stay in the 1500s. I just revealed that you're a sinner and you need a Savior. I'm revealing to you. But what do? We get a revelation and we build four walls around it and we call it church. And we don't grow and then we die, our light goes out. It's about growing spiritually. Revelation 18:4. I just wanted to read the scripture where he said it. He said, then I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. See, he's not giving up on us. Even if we've been in places that we ought not be. But most of these places that we ought not be, we don't know that we're in a place that we ought not be. That's what he's saying. If we're in a place that we know, now I'm going to get tongue-tied on this. If we're in a place that we ought not be, that's our fault. But if we're in a place that we ought not be and we don't know it, he has to reveal that to us so that we will get out of it. I'm not going to say that again. Okay. So that's why he's saying, come out of her, my people, lest you take part in her sins, lest you share in her plagues. For her sins are heaped as high as the heaven, and Elohim has remembered her iniquity. Guys, the day of reckoning is coming. And the thing about it is all the way up to the end. And this is why you don't ever, ever, ever give up on people. Because I am so thankful that he never gave up on me. Because I'm going to tell you, like I said before, and I'm going to close with this. Whenever I accepted Yeshua as my Savior, when I was 13 years old, I did what the Baptists do. Like we said on Rosh Kodesh the other night. I get fired up. I backslide. Revival comes. I get fired up. You know, it's just a vicious cycle that happens. Because a lot of times you want to do good and you want to know to do good. But the church I went to, they got you saved every week. And I'm just saying, that's what we did. They never taught us how to live. They just taught us how to be saved. I mean, and I turn around and look. I said, well, everybody in here saved. Can we go to the next lesson? You know, but you never did. And so what happens is in the body of Messiah, there are people. Because what did he say? The famine in the end days is not going to be a physical food, which a lot of us are probably hungry. But what did he say the famine was going to be? Hearing of his word. And that's where most of the congregations are in the world today. They're starving. The very body of Messiah is starving for the hearing of his word and applying his word. But here's the thing. We have to be a people that don't just hear it, but we have to be a people that Shema, hear with the intent to obey. Because if we're not obeying it and walking this out, it's not doing us any good. So I just want to close with this part here in a prayer. That just let us know. And this afternoon later, we're going to come back at 5 o'clock. And we're just going to have some elders up here. And if people want to rededicate, in other words, if there's a time, it's just a time for us to pray with you, pray over you, pray. Just pray by yourself at the altar, whatever you want to do. Because there's times in our life to where we have to rededicate. We have to make our calling and election sure. We need to really dig down because I'm going to tell you something. We get in a busy life. We get busy, especially the young mothers that have all these young children. You're running around. You know, they're cute and you're going through the motions. You're trying to get them to walk. And then they start walking. They get in everything. You're saying, why did I ever teach them to walk? You know, you want them back to where you can set them down and they can't move. But guess what? But once they start walking, they're rolling, okay? But what I'm saying is in life we get busy. And it's easy to forget our Heavenly Father. And what he's doing is he brings these seasons to us so that we won't forget him. Amen. Father, we just come to you, and I just pray that this day, that Father, that we would never be a people to where we would not love your truth and that we would have to be a strong delusion. Father, may that never be. that a strong delusion from you ever comes our way, because then there's no hope. But Father, we know that you, in you, there is hope. And I just thank you, Father, and as we grow from cycle to cycle, as we grow from week to week, Father, as that light that's within us grows brighter and brighter. And what that means, Father, is your light burns bright. But as we're taking the cloth of the Holy Spirit, wiping off the smudges of the mirror, Father, that reflection becomes brighter. I pray, Father, that in our lives in this season that we're in, that we would be a people that would be very sensitive to the needs of one another. Father, that we would not be a people that would always look inwardly at ourselves, but that we would look outwardly, that we would pray for one another, that we would meet one another's needs, that we would continue to do what we've been doing, Father, in these areas. Father, I just thank you for this time together. I just thank you for your people. And Father, again, I just pray that we wake up, because the abomination of desolation is very much alive in the year 2016. And it's going to be more alive next year. Whenever it's said that people who trust in you in some form or fashion, whatever denomination, doesn't matter, but they call on your son's name, when people are being martyred, Father, we do see now, you know, you have blessed us. We're comfortable here. We've not been touched. Most of the people in this place has not been touched with what some of the people's been touched with this past year. But Father, we have to have our minds made up to serve you, that regardless of what comes our way, that we will just be able to say that Yeshua is King. Yeshua is going to be King forevermore. And I will not profane the holy things that the Father has set for me to do. Father, may we be a people that we know that our election and our calling is sure. May we examine our hearts in it. In Yeshua's name.
One with the staff in their hand. Children will play in the streets of the city. Joy will be heard once again. I am shouting over Zion.